continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Tessie is the royal rooter's rally cry. Tessie is the tune they always sung. Tessie echoed April through October night. After Serenade installed in Eden Yard.
All right, that means only one thing. I don't know what it means at Fenway Park. I honestly don't. I don't get it. All I know is this. It means that the Play Tessie guy from the Play Tessie podcast, WEEI's official Red Sox podcast, Sammy and Gordo, they're joining us, and in this case, they're boots on the ground. They're giving away shirts in the tradition of all great podcasts. They're giving away shirts. They're having a good time. They're do you guys throw out the first pitch? Did you throw out the first pitch today?
You know, we were not asked, but we do anticipate being asked in the future. It's going
to
happen.
It is amazing how happy people are to see you when you go to the minor leagues. It's such a joyous occasion when you go to the mine. Like when you walked in to that park, and did you guys go in the clubhouse today or no?
No, not in the clubhouse. But we walked into their office at the start, and it's just like everything. I mean, it's obviously early morning when we get here, but like everything's so chill, laid back. It's a good time.
Well, you walk into Hadlock Field. You walk onto Hadlock Field, and this is of course the voice you're hearing is Gordo. Is Sammy there too?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Sammy's there as well. So everyone knows their voice. Sammy or Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast live at Hadlock Field where the game's about to start. Is that correct?
Yeah, 1:10, I believe. All one-ish. Right. It's about to start.
All right, it's about to start. You're not throwing out the first pitch. But you walk in there and everyone yells, first of all, they yell McFarlane. We know that that's what they do, right? They yell McFarlane. Correct?
Yeah. Yes. You know, I was surprised. I didn't know if the message was going to carry all the way up to Maine, but it was a really pleasant surprise when we walked into their office. You know, like at Moe's when the workers all turn to you and say, "Welcome to Moe's."
Yep.
That was here, except McFarlane. It was
same
crazy.
Thing. Same thing.
That's why when the lobsters are running dry and they're out in the boats, they yell McFarlane, and all of a sudden the pots are filled. That's science. All right. That's a Maine reference. I don't know if you got that. All right. So you're up there. The vibes are strong. We have documented Marcelo Meyer. Did you talk to Marcelo at all? Did you say hello? Did you give him a what's what?
Yeah. We got to talk to Marcelo for a little bit. He hit the walk-off yesterday. He was feeling pretty good, but we got to talk to him. We got to talk to Teal. We talked to Anthony. We talked to Troy. Just a good all-around time. Speaking to everyone, it was great.
All right, so when Marcelo had said, proclaimed, you guys were there on this program, in this studio, proclaimed, Marcelo Meyer had said, hey, listen, maybe we should play the Norfolk Tides because if you want to see who the best minor league team is, I mean, the Portland Sea Dogs are strutting around, aren't they? They're strutting around. You guys are there to see this? Feels like they're strutting around.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like the Monstars of minor league baseball. It's pretty cool to see. Like, you compare the vibe we're getting back home in Boston, which is a little bit up and down, and you come up here to Maine, and oh my God, everyone's enthusiastic. The team's great. Lots to look forward to. So I might just stay up here.
Well, we can make that happen. Do we have that in the budget, Joe Braverman? Do we have rent a condo
for
Sam?
You're asking the wrong person about
right,
the budget.
Okay, all right. All right, so before we get into the Red Sox and what you guys talked about there, whatever, what's your biggest takeaway? I'll go with Gordo, you first. What's your biggest takeaway being up in Portland, the Sea Dogs, seeing that team? Because we can say, well, you got the big three. You got the big four, because I'm including Alex Pinellas in this. Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, Marcelo Meyer, Alex Pinellas. So what is the biggest takeaway, starting with you, Gordo?
I just feel like it's a good vibe. I mean, we haven't gotten to see any baseball played yet, but it's just an early morning. I mean, you could have guys who are just kind of lollygagging their way to the ballpark. It's cold. It was raining this morning. But everyone's just happy to be here. It's not just the players. It's the people. I mean, Mainers are great people in general. So it's not like I don't expect that, but yeah, that my takeaway is it's just a really good feeling being here. It's not to say that it's bad in Boston, but Sammy said it's like the vibe is up and down, and I think that's putting it generously. It's not like that here. People are just, it's a weekend. People are just happy to be here. That's my takeaway. Minor league baseball.
My takeaway from that is I'm going to have the headline, Portland Sea Dogs, : we do not lollygag. Excellent use of the word lollygag, Gordo. Excellent job. You have your A game. Sammy, what do you got?
A lot of flannels. Everybody up here is wearing a flannel. I actually brought a flannel. We gave Christopher Troy a flannel. A guy is walking by us in a flannel as I'm talking right now. So that's my biggest takeaway. They love their flannels up here in Maine. And I was telling Troy earlier that it's basically punishable by law to not have a flannel and live in Maine. So we actually brought him one. And he was psyched, so glad we got that out of the way.
So that guy that was walking by,
I pointed at that guy to point it out to Sammy, and he saw me point. It was really awkward.
Gun laws are loose up there, so careful. You know, much like Baseballs and Boring is known for giving out T-shirts, I kind of like the way this is trending. The Play Tessie guys are giving out flannels to the players because you should adopt the Portland Sea Dogs as your own, and if they start wearing around the Play Tessie flannels, that becomes a thing. That's excellent marketing by you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had a logo or something on it, but to be totally honest, I popped over to Buffalo Exchange and I just asked, can you give me a flannel for like a gigantic guy, like a professional pitcher, hypothetically, and luckily, they had one. But, yeah, soon we'll get the Play Tessie branded flannels for the Sea Dogs. That's going to be huge.
Oh, any flannel company, any company out there that likes to make flannel shirts, if you want to partner with Play Tessie Podcast, this is your big chance. All right. So, guys, I'm going to get to the team. So you drove up there this morning, Gordo, right? Correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And Sammy was sort of a preemptive strike recon mission last night to partake in how people viewed the Red Sox in Portland, the big team, the Red Sox. So once again, Gordo, I'll start with you. And it's a question that I use our T-shirt cannon question, which is we start every show by shooting this out of a T-shirt cannon. Do you believe in the Red Sox? Like, what should we make of the Red Sox? Because every single show that we've done, and you guys have been part of every single show, I think, every show that we've done, we've landed in a sort of different place, but where we've landed, and I gave this analogy, the roller coaster, this is the Splash Mountain where you're coming around in the dark room and you're coming around the turn and maybe you have the animated creature playing the banjo and you're somewhat sort of entertained, but you don't know what's coming up next. Is it going to be going up? Is it going to be going down? You don't kind of know. That's where we've landed with these 11-10 Red Sox, I feel. So, Gordo, what's your vibe?
I mean, I can't fake it, Rob. Like, it was a great game last night, potentially their best and most impressive win of the season, especially when you consider the lineup that was put out there. But, I mean, you just see it. Injuries or no injuries. You just look up and down the roster, and you see the offense. You see the defense. The pitching has been spectacular, particularly the starting pitching, but it's an unsustainable number, and that's nothing against the guys who are doing it. But Cutter Crawford with his 0.42 ERA, it's incredibly impressive, but it's almost beyond impossible to continue that. And there's so many different numbers that have to regress to the mean in that regard. But then you look up and down the lineup, and I'm just not entirely convinced that these guys are going to hit at the top of the league. So I don't know. I mean, they're 11-10. It's a good place to be, all things considered. Like, you think about how mainly down the vibes have been, but 11-10, I mean, you'll take it, all things considered. I hope they can stay in it as long as possible and maybe make it more competitive than that. But it's just looking up and down the roster at the baseball we've seen over the last 10 or so games. I'm not convinced at the moment.
Well, before you go, Sammy, one of the things, and we can play these games all the live long day, and you said it, I think, Gordo, sustainability. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Is it sustainable? But I love looking at the standings. I love comparing. I mentioned earlier that they're a half game behind the Dodgers because so clearly they'll have more wins than the Dodgers. There's no question about it. But where they've landed right now, and they're even with, the team that they're even with, that intrigues me, the Texas Rangers. And not only because they're both 11-10, But they both have the exact same run differential, which people, executives, obsess over for some reason. But they're both at a plus 11. And I think what this shows you, and if you look at those two teams, two totally different kind of teams, you have, you know, Evan Carter, and you have young players, you have Wyatt Langford, and then you have Simeon, and you have Seager, and you have all the reasons, Evaldi, and everything else. And what do the Red Sox have? The Red Sox have this historic starting pitching. So if you want to get to a place while you're figuring out everything else, this is how you do it. You have historic starting pitching. But if you don't have that historic starting pitching, you're going to end up in a place more like the Minnesota Twins, which is 6-12. Anyway, that's my rant off of Gordo. Sammy, what do you got?
Well, I think it's interesting when you look at this team. They basically haven't had their best bat, Rafael Devers, all year. The fact that they're 11-10, you know, not the most impressive record ever. The pitching, there's no way it keeps going this well all year long. But then on the other side of the coin, there's no way they hit this kind of anemically all year long. So I think this is kind of what it's going to be like. Maybe a slight improvement when Devers clicks and finally gets going. If assuming that happens at some point this year, I'd be shocked if it didn't. But I think everyone just has to accept that this is going to be one of those up and down seasons. It's not a team that you're looking at to go deep into October or into October at all. But, you know, take it for what it's worth. Look at the individual performances, the improvements, if you want to be positive like me. And, you know, don't get too hung up on the wins and losses because you're just going to end up disappointed.
Don't get too hung up on the wins and losses. What are we supposed to get hung up
right,
on?
What a reasonable thing to suggest, right? No, I mean, I'm just looking at guy like improvements to the pitching staff. That's a positive. They moved Rafael at a shortstop last night. I know it wasn't perfect, but the plays that he did make were smooth. That's an improvement. So, you know, little things. If you want to get through this season feeling good, that's how you have to do it, in my opinion.
The great game of baseball. The game of baseball is the winner, Sammy. Like, come on. Yeah. You got to get hung up on the wins and losses at some point. You know why? Because
until they're
out of it, until they die, you can't not watch the wins and losses because there's always a chance. 2021 happens.
I don't believe enough in the team to get hung up on wins and losses. Of course, I want them to win and I'm excited when they do win, but I'm like, I'm not freaking out when they lose. It's kind of what I expect.
All right, listen, I know that you guys have all kinds of props at Play Tessie, all the socials, X, Twitter, Instagram. You have all these good stuff where you're making all these predictions, the home runs and everything else. This is the prediction I want. This is documented. So, Gordo, you can go first. Which of the big three there in the place that you are sitting right now? And by the way, are you guys gonna eat ice cream sandwiches?
It's kind of cold. I'm not feeling ice. I'm going to get like a hot dog or something.
Get a dog
biscuit.
I want
a French fry bucket.
All right.
I want the helmet of French fries.
No. All right. There's a thing called a dog biscuit. It's an ice cream sandwich. Expenses to the baseball is a boring account. They'll know what you're talking about. All right. So last thing, Gordo. Kyle Teal, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony. On September 1st, we'll do the September 1st game. September 1st, are any of them with the major league team? And if so, which ones? Go ahead.
I'm going to say yes. I think two out of the three make it to the majors by then, and I honestly think it could be any of them. But if I'm going to take the two specifically that I think it'll be, I'm going to go with Meyer and Teal. And I'm going to leave Anthony off just because he's so young. And, I mean, he's awesome. He's playing great. But, obviously, a little bit raw as a 19-year-old. Meyer has looked great to start this year. Kyle Teal has been awesome, too. He hit another home run yesterday. Meyer had a few hits, and he walked the game off. At a certain point, they do enough down here to show that they're worthy of getting up there. And if they keep performing like this and if they stay healthy, I don't know how you don't see at least one, but I think two. By the end of the year,
right.
Especially if the Red Sox
let it be said, let it be done. Gordo, September 1st, Marcelo Meyer and Kyle Teal both on the Boston Red Sox. All right, Sammy, what do you got?
I don't know if you've seen this, Rob, but the Red Sox shortstop situation is less than ideal right now, and Marcelo Meyer is a shortstop. So if you had asked me a month ago, I would have said, no, I don't think any one of the big three are going to make it up to Boston this year. But with the way Meyer's playing and with the disaster piece of shortstop in Boston right now, I think you see him get his cup of coffee late in the year, which after kind of a lost season in 2023 for him, that's great to hear.
The,
so,
the biggest question,
to be positive.
The biggest question, Sammy, is can it be more than a cup of coffee? And that's where I'm intrigued, because it's not like this day and age of baseball, it's not like it used to be. A lot, the guys are getting called up faster and faster and faster. Now, you know, service time and so forth and so on, whatever. But the Marcelo Meyer conversation, if he does what he's doing right now at the AA level, having played a dabbling of AA last year, and then goes to AAA and is good, then it becomes more than a cup of coffee. And that's something that I never, ever thought I would say. Maybe I'm being way too reactionary. All right. Anyway.
Right, right. Hey, he could get a full batch of Dunkin' cold brew, maybe. That'd be big. More games.
That's there. Exactly. This another sponsorship opportunity. What level of cup of coffee will Marcelo Meyer get? Tell Marcelo we're there for him. We're making him all kinds of money. All right. Go to L.L. Bean. Do whatever you have to do to get the vibes, to get the whole experience. Come on back. Be safe, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, Bradford, we'll see you. Talk soon.
All right. All right, that is Sammy and Gordo of Play Tessie, the Play Tessie podcast, live from Hadlock Field, because when stuff happens, we're live, we're on the scene. All right, we got to take a break. We got to do a trend. Here's Joe Braverman.
Hey, right. Take my mind away from never gone before. Roll like a mushroom.
All right, it is Baseball Isn't Boring. I'm Rob Bradford, Joe Braverman. With us, straw that stirs a drink, Joe Braverman. Learned a lot about broadcasting today. Feel like you can't wait to get in the next broadcast booth.
Oh, I'm so antsy now for next week.
I texted Lou. He has not texted back, so maybe you come at it from a different perspective, area. As the producer, say, Lou, we need you on in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about your play-by-play. Talk about the Boston Red Sox, talk about the great game of baseball, because this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. And a reminder, at BB Isn't Boring, Instagram, X, Twitter, and now YouTube. It's all happening. Big news coming up for the Baseball Isn't Boring brand, hopefully coming up this week. So a lot of good stuff going on. A lot of good stuff already happening in the show. Always enjoy doing the show. Always enjoy talking to people. Always enjoy the callers. And we got a bunch of callers right now. Let's go to Allison in Cambridge. Allison, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say that whenever I think of playing Tessie, it always makes me think of Jeff Horrigan. Because remember, he was the one who got in the studio to record the song and brought it back?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I have no idea. I really liked his writing, and I really liked him. And I want to just have a shout out to Jeff Horrigan. He's a good guy. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, well, I worked with Jeff at the Boston Herald, and so I think he's out in Milwaukee. But yeah, good guy.
That makes me really happy. I was going to ask you a comparison of. I might as well go there, but. The Portland Sea Dogs, but how would you compare these guys to when we had Jed Lowry and Dustin Pedroia and Els and Anthony Rizzo and that bunch that were in Portland Sea Dogs that I always wanted to get up to see, but I never did.
It's a good question. It's an impossible answer. I mean, we're basically with this Portland Sea Dogs group, really, like, we focus on the three guys, right? Right or wrong, yeah, we focus on the three guys because not only because are they top prospects, but because they are so important or perceived to be so important for how this whole thing can work. And everything, Allison, from talent level to the positions that they play, all of it.
Right. What does Romeo Anthony play? What position does Romeo Anthony play?
I like you when you call him Romeo Anthony, but it's Roman Anthony. But I think that we can change it to Romeo if you call him a couple more times. He plays out.
Just like I called Jaron Duran, Duran Duran. So it reminds me of Duran.
It's okay.
Duran.
Yes. So Anthony plays outfield. Yeah.
Okay. And so do you want to hazard any comparison to when we had those amazing players in the Portland Sea Dogs all at the same time? Because I always, when I think of coming to the beginning of this, of the Red Sox in the season 2000, I had thought that before I knew that steroids were so much of a part of why teams like Oakland were doing well in big part, I thought that the big thing that teams like Oakland and Minnesota and the Yankees in their last dynasty was because of having people who came up together in the minor leagues and played together. And that's what I thought was so great about, I mean, when we had that with Jacoby Ellsbury and Dustin Pedroia and Jed Lowry and Anthony Rizzo and all those players, that's a very important thing to have people who are used to playing with each other, especially in terms of defense and stuff. And so what do you – so if you had to make a hazard or comparison –
Yeah, no, I think that it's – we can compare it to the next wave. And, Allison, thanks for the call. We can compare it to these waves. And you mentioned, Allison, you mentioned a wave that we had. We had the Betts and Bogarts and Bradley wave. The interesting thing about this group, which I think people may not recognize, is that that group, those three guys, are super tight, like best friend tight. You have Teal, you have Anthony, you have Meyer. And it's weird because they obviously around the same age, but not exactly the same age, and also came to baseball in different ways, where you have Marcelo Meyer, the 2021 first-round pick, obviously, out of high school. You have Roman Anthony, who was 2022. Is that right? Is that right, Joe? But then you have, obviously, Kyle Teal was last year's first-round pick. But they're all super tight, and I don't know if it's because they know how important they are. They know where they rank in terms of the echelon of this organization, but they're super tight. Is it, what do we got?
79th overall in 2022.
20. I knew it. My instincts were keen. All right, let's go back to the phones. Tyler in Littleton. What's going on, Tyler? How are you today?
Hey guys, I'm doing well, thanks. And the intro music coming back from commercial break is fire today.
Oh yeah, so like Joe, the ones and the twos. That. I mean, he is a master on the ones and the twos. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah, it's hitting real hard. But I love the broadcasting segment that you guys did, and so I had to call in and beat the drum for Sweet Lou. Listen, man, I'm 35, so I've never lived in a world where Joe Castiggs is not the voice of Red Sox baseball, but I think I've been trying to prepare myself emotionally because even Hall of Fame Joe, like, it won't go forever, so I'm trying to get prepared, but I think that if Lou takes over, I think he's got the chops for it. He talks like a ball player without being a caricature or gimmicky. I think he's got what it takes, and I mean, if I could, whether if it's Nesson or WEEI, somebody better open the checkbook and slide it over. I know Lou's got a family, and I know Lou, like the season, Lou knows as well as anybody that the season is a grind, right? But if I'm in charge, I'm sliding a blank check over and saying, you fill this out, and that would really ease the emotional existential burden that I'm preparing for. Whenever Joe hangs it up, I want Lou in there. He does a great job. Lou, if you're listening, I've called in and said this before. I want Lou. He's the guy that is just Boston baseball through and through.
Can I tell you, Tyler, before you take off, first of all, he will hear this. I mean, I don't know if he's listening, but he will hear this. We will make sure that he hears this. We are hoping to have Lou on a little bit later. But, Tyler, as someone, I love this topic. I love talking about broadcasting. And there's no rhyme or reason. There's no absolute way you should do it. But one of the constants, and I think this is one of the things that Lou brings, is to be genuine, right? There's nothing canned about Lou. It just to be genuine. He talks like, even though he played at a level that we can't imagine playing, he talks like a fan or like the guy on next to the couch with you, right? That's what that's the most important part.
He's got such
a way
of explaining it to you, like he can explain it, like, because you know he played at that level, and he has a way of explaining it to you, like to help you understand, as you and I listen, and we're somebody who did not do what he did, what these guys do. But yeah, it just makes so much sense when Lou talks, and I'm here for it. I know he's got a life, and all that, but also everybody's got a price. So, like I said, if I'm in charge, I'm opening up the checkbook.
Let's go. Blank check. I cannot confirm or deny that, but thank you for the call. And it goes back to I thought Tyler was right on the money when it comes to Lou is a guy who knows the game really, really well, played the game at the highest level, but also is able to deliver that information and deliver that perspective almost in the way of a local fan. I remember going back to I filled in some games at Nesson in 2013, and I think Chad Finn did an article, and I said, listen, like, little Robbie Bradford from Essex, Massachusetts, playing Little League, I'm following up Dennis Eckersley. Like, I don't have the same perspective of Dennis Eckersley. All I can be is what I can be, which is I go down, I fill my head with information, I talk like I talk, and that's it. And I think that for better or for worse, that's all you can do. And I think some people are lost in that. Some people get tangled up, and even former players get tangled up in, I can't criticize, I can't show emotion, or I have to get too wonky with it, all of it. It's a tricky thing, but I think it comes back to the same conversation that we're having. You just got to be genuine. Just be genuine. Whatever you are, and Lou fortunately is genuine, and what he is checks off a ton of great boxes. All right.
That's just a life lesson. Be yourself.
It is. But you know, Joe, in this industry, how many people aren't themselves? Because they're how they think that the boss wants them to be. And sometimes the boss doesn't want them to be themselves. What are you going to do? But all I know is that that's not the best version of yourself. Wow, that was deep. Anyway, Dougie in Topsfield. What's going on, Dougie?
Oh, hi. Something has occurred to me. If pitchers are having trouble gripping the ball, wouldn't all the fielders have the same problem? And I also remember last year there was an issue around this time where it seemed the scorers weren't calling errors errors.
Oh, that is brutal. It is brutal. No, and it's so to answer your first question, it's not a bad take. I don't have an answer for it. I'm looking up now the fielding percentage, you know, because I can't just say, oh, well, there's 2,517 errors made last year and there's 351 errors made this year. No, let's look at fielding percentage. And the fielding percentage is like just a tick worse this year. So I don't think that's painting the picture, but I do like your where you're going with this. We have to figure this out. The whole, and I'm going to play, and Dougie, I'm going to play you the conversation I have with Kenley in a little bit about how he views the baseballs, how he views the pitching clock. All of this, we're trying to figure all of this out. Injuries and errors. This is a whole new world, Dougie.
Oh, yeah. I like the old world.
Well, you know what? I like the new world on Wednesday. I like that hour and 49-minute game, Dougie. I'm not going to lie to you. So,
oh yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Dougie. All right, before we go to the break, let's go to Dave in Wilmington. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm great.
So, Rob, if the Red Sox get Teo and Mayer up by September, two things. Number one, do the Red Sox finally open the checkbook again in the off season, or are those days over? And number two, what do we do with Trevor Story?
All right, well, number one, Dave, is good questions, and thank you for the call. Number one is that Craig Breslow, even why they were not spending any money, even why during the second half of the offseason when it was clear they weren't spending any money, he had said, this is not predictive of what it's going to look like in future offseasons. Now, we can only take his word for it, but the way that he was painting it was, we're doing it this way, but we're going to do it a little bit differently going forward once we get the foundation, once we get all the under-the-hood stuff going. All right. So now we talked with the play testing guys. Who is going to get called up? Who potentially could get called up this year? And I think those guys were saying Marcelo Meyer and Kyle Teal. Roman Anthony's a little younger. Marcelo Meyer is at the top of the list for me. If he keeps dominating, if he keeps doing what he's doing, then the conversation changes. Because let's play this out, Joe. He dominates April. He dominates May. You're in AAA in June. You do well in AAA for a couple months. Now it's a different, you do that. It's not like you're just riding out the rest of the year in AAA, especially if you don't know what you have. So what will be interesting is you get the trade deadline. The trade deadline with this team, to me, is going to be everything. Everything. How we view Breslow, how we view this team, are they going to be in it, out of it? But also, how are you going to view that position, the shortstop position? And the other question is, well, what does that mean for Trevor Story? I think at this point, you can't worry about it. You can't just assume that Trevor Story's shoulder is going to be exactly how it's going to be going the next year. You can't worry about that. If you feel like Marcelo Meyer for next year, or even later in this year, Marcelo Meyer is your shortstop. He can feel the position. He can hit. He's the guy you're putting there. Then Trevor Story, as good as he is, just say his shoulder's okay, then you put him at second.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. It really depends. As you said, trade deadline, we said it weeks ago, that's the perfect timeline that you want to give for what this team does, whatever direction they're going in.
We're going to find out so much. And I don't think I would not put Marcelo Meyer. I would not do the second base thing with him. He's only played shortstop. Let him be a shortstop. He's good enough there. Let him be a shortstop. Let Trevor Story, and I'm getting way before the horse. But one of the things, too, a guy that we haven't even talked about this show, is Vaughn Grissom. I went over to Worcester. We talk about the Portland people being nice. Worcester people are so nice. So I want to see him play, talk to him, did a quick podcast with him. It's on the Baseball Isn't Boring feed right now. But Vaughn Grissom, I want to see him play second base because, Joe, this is the first time he has played second base since he came back in the rehab assignment. He's played three games. He hadn't played in the field at all. First time, and we hadn't seen him play out in the field hardly at all, even earlier in spring training. This guy was not out in public doing a lot of defensive work in Fort Myers. So now we get a chance to see him play. If you go to my Twitter feed, X feed, whatever, at Bradfo, I'm filming the very first at bat that Worcester has, and sure enough, Vaughn Grissom makes a really good play.
Saw it, diving stop.
Diving stop, gets up, makes a throw. He throws kind of weird sidearm, but you know, it's still, you know,
whatever gets the ball to his destination.
It's how he throws. Exactly. You're a man of science. But I would say this. I think one of the things when we look at Vaughn Grissom that I don't think people are appreciating enough is that he's an athlete. He's athletic. In this world of the Red Sox saying we have to be more athletic, this guy, yeah, sure, he's about 6'2", whatever, maybe even 6'3". He's a big guy, but he's an athlete. Get more athletes. To me, him at second, Rafael at short, let it run. That's to me. That's what you do this year. All right, 617-779-7937. We've got a lot coming up. Lou has confirmed he's coming on at 2:30. We will react to his play-by-play experience, and we will react to his take on the Red Sox and anything else he wants to talk about. It's sort of like I'm letting him workshop the broadcast. That's what I'm doing. That's what this show is for. It leads into the pregame show. Who's doing the pregame show today?
The one and only Joe Weil.
Oh, Joe Weil. And is that tomorrow? The Kyle Teal. He has a Kyle Teal interview, I think. Anyway, speaking of interviews, I did want to play for you a piece of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast sit-down that I did with Kenley Jansen. I know that Kenley's been in the crosshairs of a lot of people this week, but the topic is something that we've mentioned, and obviously in baseball, which is why the heck are all these players getting injured? Why the heck are all these pitchers getting hurt? Well, as I said before, Kenley's got a lot of Ortiz in him in the sense that he's genuine and he's going to say what's on his mind. And that's what he did on the podcast. So we're going to do that. We're going to play that for you after the break. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
So what, we get drunk. So what, we don't sleep.
All right, Joe Braverman getting mad props. He's spinning the ones and the twos today. It's good. It's good when people appreciate it.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Who doesn't love compliments? Getting appreciated.
All right, well, let's get right to it. So like I said, I promise, we like to have advance conversations. That's what we like to do. We don't just yap about it. And so we're advancing the conversation, a big conversation in baseball. Why are all these pitchers getting hurt? A lot of the Red Sox pitchers getting, they are not immune to this epidemic. And so we're trying to figure out why. And everyone, and basically I just say to guys, okay, power rank the reasons. I did it to Daniel Bard. Daniel Bard came on the podcast, and he's getting surgery on his elbow. I said, power rank the reasons. And he had a complete, they all have different reasons. Everyone has a different reason. I mean, usually it's one of four or five things, but it's not like consistently it's this. Anyway, that's why I wanted to sit down and get Kenley Jansen's perspective. He's always insightful. He's always genuine. He always thinks these things through. So here you go. Here's Kenley Jansen appearing on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
So I want to ask you, if I may, we've talked about this last year, and it's been a big topic of conversation about the pitching injury stuff. I want you to power rank for me, if you can. And nobody knows for sure.
Yeah.
Power rank for me, what do you think are the issues? So here are some of the options. Pitch clock, chasing velocity, slipperier baseballs. I think Dwight Gooden said this the other day, you guys don't have bigger enough leg kicks anymore. I don't know.
We can say anything we can say. You could tell any bodybuilder to, you know, when they go to competition or whatever, or when they're doing the lift and, you know, cut their 2-minute break in between to 30 seconds. And what do you think is going to happen with
so that? You're going with pitch clock.
I'm just asking that question.
No, it's just
what do you think? If you're going to deadlift or do whatever, and you got to do like 5-6 reps, right? And then instead of taking like a minute or a minute 30 break or even two, and then be like, do it in 18 seconds. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. You're gonna rush and you're going to get out of whack.
Their back is going to blow, right?
Right.
They're going to blow their back, right?
Yeah.
So we got to sit here and be honest with ourselves. As much that we all, you know, like they want to speed the game up and all that stuff. Yes, a part of everything. You know, it's a part of guys, you know, the deliveries are different. It's better. Guys are trying to throw harder. But if you're going to be on the torque every time less than 15 seconds, you know, what do you think is going to happen? You know, it's pitchers cannot step up and catch a breath and take a deep breath. And what's... You ask any doctors, right? When you have a panic attack or whatever, what do you think is going to get you out of it?
Slowing down.
Slowing down and breathe, right?
Yeah.
To your nose. And the breathing is a huge part of your body also, too. You know, to make sure your blood go everywhere. You know, when you throwing 100% and as hard as you can, what do you think is going to happen in your shoulders, in your forearm? All those little veins, you're going to freaking explode them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you're not giving your body chance to, like, recover. I'm not saying being out there for 30 seconds in between every pitches, but, you know, I think I'm not saying to eliminate the pitch clock either. But I'm just saying to, like, instead of, like, why
but
why
we have
so
to accept
rush?
What's going on.
Yeah, why so rush 15 seconds and 18 seconds instead of, like, having 20 seconds, no matter what, man on base or man not on base, and have a pitcher to step up once or twice, you know, to catch his breath when he fall 0-1, 0-2, you know? Instead of, like, 0-1, 0-2, you can't control, you got to keep going. Now it's... ball three, ball four, you know, and then, you know, what it does do, you know, like, as Major League, anybody is anticipating right now the Dodgers and the Braves to play in the NLCS. You don't have Spencer Strider. One of your superstars, not there no more. You know, I mean, for me, pitching one inning, you know, I could feel the stress and what that does to your body, you know, the whole year, last year and this year. And never have a lot of issue like I'm having the last 2 years. I'm not saying, yes, I'm getting older.
And yeah, but you work
still,
hard.
I'm still working hard and stretch, do all my stuff. You know, so many times my lower back locked up on me and all the stuff happening and, you know, I'm not available, this and that. But what does that? You know what I'm saying? I'm not... At some point, we got to look at ourselves and... just grab our ego and take our pride away. And instead of trying to be the genius of the freaking league, you know, that I'm changing all the rules to basically, you know what? It's hurting, you know, it's hurting the game. It's hurting the game also. You don't want to see Garrett Cole out. You don't want to see Bieber out. You don't want to see Strider out, you know. Now we got Nick Pivetta with a, you know, forearm tightness. It's so many superstars out. Why? You know? And we can be in all that, oh, the data saying, how they pitching in high school and college. They was doing that already. You know, they was doing it already. You know, so we put one thing in that a human being's body need to have, you know, a second to recover also between pitches.
By the way, you were ahead of the curve. We sat, I think it was in Atlanta last year.
Yeah.
And it was in June. And you were saying that, and the other guy who came on the podcast, I think right before you did, said the same thing, Matt Strom. And they were saying the same thing. It's like, it's June. It's June of the first year. But wait. Wait to see what happens, because you guys could see it coming, you know?
Yeah, I told you. I mean, you're going to see more people going to get blown up. And what? You know, you're hurting people's family, you know? As much we do this as we love, but this is taking care of our family too, you know? And one thing we know, we have, you know, we average 3 years in the big leagues. And if you're a unicorn, you average more, 10 plus, you know? But team's going to be here forever, you know? Owner's going to make their money forever. And to do that and hurt, you know, players, you know, you're basically taking foot away from other players. And I get it as a business that we don't care. It's another young arm. Call him up. You know, forget about that one. But shoot, man, I want to see Spencer Strider healthy. I want to see Garrett Cole healthy. I want to see Bieber healthy. You know, it's great for the game also, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great for the game, you know. So I wish they can, you know, revisit this matter and put your egos and pride aside. You know, it's okay. We try it. We all try it. But make an adjustment. You know, make an adjustment with it because it's hurting the game.
Is it 2 seconds? The 2 seconds they shaved off his head made it. Can you notice that?
I say it was already tough last year.
No, that's what I mean. It's by then. This is the one thing I think we can all agree on. Like,
yeah,
why,
2 seconds, man. Let pitcher step off. I get it. You know, we try to create more offense. You know, it's visible what Major League is doing. That you wanted to create more offense, want to create more base stealing, you know, so we can pick only twice. You know, like, why you put more disadvantage to pitchers, you know? So it's not fair, you know? So I get a fast runner in the ninth inning, up by one, and I can only pick twice, you know? Yeah. It's like,
do you sense, so like I said to you,
put a pitch clock when you pick, put a time. Whenever you pick, you have to throw the ball, you know, to home. Like, something like that, you know, or, yeah, something. It needs to be something. Just take their time and figure it out and what's best for baseball.
Do you get the sense that other, like, I gave you the list of things, and you picked the pitch clock, which is, you make a good case for it.
Yeah.
Talking to other pitchers, are they feeling the same
way? Yeah, people feel the same way. People say, same thing for us as a relievers. You know, you take down 30 seconds now, you know, for us to run, you know, and then we can even catch our breath, you know, and then we got to throw the ball before certain seconds, and then we have to be ready to throw a ball. Innings go so fast. The league is such a free-swinging league now that you don't see guys work the counts no more. So by the time it's a 1-2-3 inning, we don't have time to warm up in the bullpen. And then we have to run, and then we have to warm up. What do you think is going to happen with us in the long run?
Yeah.
We're going to blow out.
And we're just feeling the effects, or not we, but you guys are feeling the effects now.
Yeah, right? I feel the effects. You know?
I mean, like, again, like last June, we didn't know. We didn't know.
Everybody. I'm not mentioning names, but everybody complained about it, especially in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Of how less of a second for us to warm up and be ready. You know, it's not fair, but what can we do? You know, we just gotta follow the rules. Something that Major League can just change anytime, any day, and doesn't even, you know, talk to the players.
You mentioned the trending toward hitting. You had another thing. You know about the Trajec machine? They can use that now. The hitters can use that during the game.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. And that you can't use... You can't use
TrackMan.
TrackMan.
I can't use TrackMan to warm up with, but they can use the machine.
That's crazy to me.
So, that's the truth, man. I hear so many people on TVs and this and that. Right? Just say the truth, man. Say the truth and don't be around the bush. I'll never be around the bush my whole life. I'll always say what I have to say. And that's who I am. I don't care. You know, so I make sure that's how I'm raised. I make sure I say the truth and... That is the truth. I'm not saying to take the pitch cloth away. I'm just saying to make an adjustment to it. You know? So you don't want a guy like me to throw a pitch every 28, 30 seconds either. You know? Like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
To throw under 20 seconds. I'm okay. But we got to do something that sometimes a pitcher needs a breather. Like, if a hitter can't ask time out, a pitcher should ask time out too to catch his breath.
Yeah, that one doesn't... I don't get that one either.
You know?
Yeah.
So... That's not fair.
All right. Well, speaking of truth, what's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball Isn't Boring, baby.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the truth. Let's go. Let's go. Right, Joe?
The whole truth and nothing but the
all
truth.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask Joe Braverman's take on that interview. He paid attention just enough to soak it all in. And I want your take as well. 617-779-7937. I think we've hit on some really, really interesting stuff over the first couple hours of the show. We're going to be with you all the way to the pregame show. We're talking about broadcasting, the art of broadcasting. We're going to have Lou Maloney on at 2:30. We've talked about the Red Sox. What should we actually make of them? They're 11-10. How possibly are they 11-10? And are they a team that actually can do something? Are they worth investing in emotionally, physically, monetarily, all of that? And, of course, what Kenley Jansen just said, and very outspoken, he only tells the truth. He only tells it. Just be honest. A little subtle thing in there, Joe, calls out the commissioner. He's like, I love a little spiciness when it comes to Kenley. All right, 617-779-7937. That's how you can join the show, talking about all the aforementioned topics. Right now, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.